Welcome to the Bootropia Podcast. I'm Sarah McDilling. I am here today with two of my amazing co-workers, Emily Meredith and Bronwyn Ely. Did I say that right?
You did. I'm so impressed.
I've never said your last name out loud.
Look, it's no Anastasia Hadjidimitri who's upstairs.
We are here today to talk about the Christmas shortlist, particularly the kids' books on the Christmas shortlist, and to segue into just our favourite kids and YA books of the year.
And there are so many, so be prepared for a long haul, guys.
It won't be a short discussion. No. It'll probably become a passionate discussion. So, to begin, let's just cover off the specifically chosen kids and YA books from our shortlist, the Christmas shortlist.
So my top pick on the Christmas shortlist is definitely Pig the Elf, which Bronwyn and I both loved.
So with you on that. It's the cutest book I think I've ever seen.
It's a book by one of Australia's greatest authors, Aaron Blabey. He's so prolific, so you've probably read at least something by him. And it's about a pug called Pig, who's very, very, very naughty.
And this one's perfect for Christmas because it's Pig the Elf, and he terrorizes Santa and makes a very ridiculous Christmas list.
Yes, and the Christmas list is in the end papers, so it's something for the parents to laugh at as well.
Yeah. No, it was great. I definitely got a few ideas from reading that Christmas list.
Aaron Blabey's always good. Mm. I don't think you can ever go wrong if you're looking for something to get a kid for Christmas. Mm. Just pick up any Aaron Blabey book.
Or an adult.
And for the slightly older reader as well, he's got the Bad Guys series, which is just stupidly
funny.
About a wolf, a piranha, a snake, and a shark who decide they don't want to be seen as evil anymore. So they try to do the right thing. And it is generally disastrous, like most great stories.
You see what your preferences are. Tragedies.
I just love mayhem. And talking about mayhem, nice segue there. There's the new Weirdo book out by Arne Doe, who is a great Australian comedian, and his books are always hysterical. This one revolves around Weirdo, who is having a garage sale.
it sounds very like, oh yeah, your standard Saturday afternoon.
It's not your standard Saturday afternoon. No. Never.
And there are so many good things for that age group that, like, what is that, 9 to 12?
It's probably more like the 6 to 12. Weirdo can be read by everybody. It's also really good for the fans of the Treehouse series by Andy Griffiths and Terry Denton.
Oh, yes.
It was one of our best-selling books this year, and it is a lot of fun.
And like Wimpy Kid.
Diary of the Wimpy Kid.
David Walliams.
Yes, and that one was very exciting because it was a secret for so long.
I remember how frustrated you were not knowing what it looked like or what it was called.
Yeah, we knew there was a book coming out by David Walliams, and he's fantastic. He's a bit like a new Roald Dahl. And anyway, when I found out, I was very excited. It's called The Midnight Gang. It has a beautiful cover, blue balloons. And it's about kids who are in a hospital who have a midnight adventure.
You neglected to mention what looked like a flying bed as well.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's...
The balloons are attached to the flying bed.
It's blue and it has balloons plus a flying bed.
I mean, I don't think that happens in the story. Maybe it does. I don't know. But I honed in on that and I was like, excellent.
And for Harry Potter fans as well, there's a whole heap Harry on the shortlist.
This has definitely been a Harry Potter year.
Oh, best Harry Potter year.
So, Fantastic Beasts. Oh. Which is such a beautiful book.
It's really shiny.
Beautiful movie,
and
beautiful book.
I know.
And the illustrated Chamber of Secrets
is just divine. Jim Kay is honestly he ties with Chris Riddle for children's illustrations. Oh, but Jim Kay and Chris Riddle are both my favourite illustrators.
Whoa.
And for Rick Riordan fans, seeing as we know there are a lot of you out there, the new Magnus Chase came out and it's just as fantastic as the first one. Thor's hammer has gone missing, and it's up to Magnus to try and find it and restore the world of the Norse gods to order.
So that ye of little faith that the powerful Norse god loses his hammer.
Oh yes.
I mean, come
Thor
on.
Thor is not cast in the most positive light in the Magnus Chase series.
There's no Chris Hemsworth in the Magnus Chase series.
He's all brawn and very little brain.
Well, it was a little bit like that in the movies too, but definitely, I think, a lot less brain in the books, but that makes for a fun story.
Definitely
isn't it?
A fun story. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Gives Magnus a good challenge.
So, in the world of children's book to YA books, I'm more obsessive about the YA.
Yep.
Emily's our expert on picture books and kids' books. Yes. What are your top picks for the year, recommendations to buy for little ones?
Well, my absolute favourite picture book that came out this year is A Child of Books by Oliver Jeffers and Sam Winston.
Absolutely
that
beautiful.
That one is beautiful.
It is divine, and it's the perfect gift for any book lover. It doesn't matter how old they are. I have bought quite a number of copies, both for myself and other people.
How many for yourself?
Look, I own two.
Paperback and hardcover?
No, one signed, one not.
A true fan.
But it is a stunning book, and it's all about the journey a child has through words and books and stories. It's just divine, and all of the illustrations are done on words.
We can't even describe sentences. It. You actually,
it's just beautiful. You have to buy it and look at it and love it.
Can you tell she's a fan?
But another really great picture book that came out this year is Mr. Chicken, Arriva Aroma.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, goodness.
Are you serious? It's come by my desk later.
It's by Lee Hobbs, who is an Australian treasure. He was also the Children's Laureate this year. And Mr. Chicken is this enormous, almost 8 foot tall, big yellow chicken. But not the kind of chicken you imagine. And he likes to travel a lot. He's been to Paris and London already. And this time he's in Rome, and it's just a lot of fun.
Lee Hobbs, was when he was in here, said that apparently parents have said that their children, who love the book, have demanded to go exactly where Mr. Chicken goes. If they go to Paris, they're like, we have to go here and here and here because that's where Mr. Chicken went. And I bet you there are some posed photos of exactly where Mr. Chicken is, but he, you know, he's a lot more domineering in the photo because he's giant. No, it's a good book. You have to have a look.
It is beautiful. And then for slightly younger children, my favourite book that came out this year is called Never Touch a Monster. And it's a tiny little board book but has lots of things for children to touch and feel. And
aww.
It's really cute. And every page has a new exciting monster. And the book tells you not to touch it, but you're encouraged to by all the fun, exciting things that happen on the page.
Like Andy Lee's
you do book. Not open yeah. this book. Okay, I will.
Monsters have been big this year. Not just in kids' books, but in YA as well. Gemina, guys. Monsters.
There are some monsters in
there. They're not really monsters, are they?
They're psychic worms from space.
They are monsters.
They're parasites. In my, not monsters. Like, boom, boom. I'm picturing like a giant thing.
Look, camel. Spiders are monsters too.
Poor spiders. I don't like them either, but...
I think they're pretty monstrous.
I don't know. I'd call them creepy, not monstrous. When I picture a monster, I picture like Monsters Inc. in terms of her book.
So you think of nice, happy monsters, not monstrous creatures.
Oh,
Sully is the kind of monster we'd all like.
Teddy bear.
But he's not the one we get.
No, in Gemini we get terrifying alien psychic worms that feed on your psychic thoughts. Pretty monstrous in my
it's
book.
It's not just really what Gemina is about. Can no, we just really highlight? It's a really great action this... book set in space, and there just happen to be a few psychic thought-eating worms.
Yeah, that's just one bit of it. And that if that's not doesn't tell you that it's an awesome book, I don't know what will.
There's also space mafia there and like evil yes. corporations mm-hmm. and pop music and like
awkward Sarah McDonald dancing on a table.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Sarah's in the book, everyone.
This is one of my favorite books of this year.
Oh, I wonder why.
Is this where the section where we talk about?
I'm actually considering putting everything like... that we had in it. So don't worry. We weren't intentionally recording that, everyone. We were just sort of babbling, but I think it works.
I loved this book. Gemina by Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff.
I was a bit obsessed.
It's so good. And I loved the first one, and I thought, you know, when you love a book and it's part of a series, there's always that level of expectation hanging over the next one if it will measure up, and it hands down. It might be better. It could be better. I can't remember.
They're both so great. I think I really love Hannah.
Yeah,
I love her.
The characters in this are great. The thing about it is that it's so funny. There's such smart, like, quips and great dialogue. But it's also you know, got its scary moments. It's full of action.
And a lot of moments where you sit there and you go, no.
Yeah, it kind of like, it's kind of hard to pull off a good twist these days. I think, you know, you have to, it's not about being, I don't know how to say this. It's less about thinking up a really unexpected twist that no one could ever imagine and more about drawing people into the story so much that they don't think to look for the clues.
Well,
and they don't,
we won't spoil it, but since we've read it, now we understand what the hints were.
The hints are there.
But you don't pick them up. You're too invested.
You're too caught up in the story.
Maybe that's just not. Maybe we're just not.
The fact that this book's title is like, spoiler alert, a bit of a hint about certain things that happen towards the end. It's in the friggin' title. And I was so caught
up
in
the story.
It's
like, it's a cool name. Let's move on.
Yeah, I didn't even think of it. I just launched straight into this story and it had me 100% from start to finish. It's like such a good one. It might be my favourite YA video. But there's some tough
ones. Well, I don't know. I love, look at that, it's up there. But up there, on the other hand, people, you can't see me holding out my hands in high praise, is Crooked Kingdom.
This is, so the Crooked Kingdom is the second half of the Six of Crows duology. So let's talk about these books as a pair. This, much like the Illuminae series we were just talking about, these make great Christmas presents because they are beautiful books.
They are.
And if you get Illuminae and Gemini side by side on your bookshelf, they look gorgeous.
They look gorgeous on my bookshelf at home. I walk in and I smile.
And likewise, just to talk about books as objects as well, they're gorgeous. And there's the Leigh Bardugo Six of Crows duology is stunning. It's just beautiful cover art and the story.
And beyond judging the book by its cover.
Yeah, I don't seem too sure. Wow. The books are beautiful, but they're also amazing stories. And this is one of my go-to recommendations. I've been trying to force everyone to read Six of Crows and
She put it onto me and I'm forever grateful. Yeah. I can't imagine life before
I feel
that
like
story.
I've been like giving this feel to everyone going, it's like, there's this group and they're in a heist, but it's like a magical heist. And going through all the characters, there's an ex-con and there's like a former
prostitute. That's
what got
me. Anytime there's an ex-con.
Like,
he's not like an ex-con. They're all cons.
There's one freshly out of prison. There's a former prostitute, which is unusual for YA, but there she is.
Mm.
And there's like, everyone's got problems. Everyone's sort of messed up. Very dark. It's like, it is dark for YA, but you know, in a refreshing kind of way. I'm babbling, but like,
you know, you love it because you just want to keep talking about it, and sometimes your brain doesn't function because you're too high on the thought
just,
of
like,
the story.
Thinking about the story, it's just really, I don't know, I've read both books twice and they were just so they were so good.
They were.
And there's no more now.
We're both a little bit heartbroken, so if you really want to break someone's heart this Christmas, get them this duology because they'll love it, and then they'll hate you for introducing them to it because it's just so amazing.
There might be more books.
There might.
In years, there could possibly be more stories.
She's written it in a way where it's like it's finished, but there's all the potential there.
All great stories, they never really end.
No, and you shouldn't because there's just, this whole world is so rich.
I love, those are two real standouts for me, Six of Crows series and Illuminae. But we also had two huge books from Sarah
J. Maas.
Yeah. You're like, finally, we'll talk about it.
Which Bron hasn't read.
I'm sorry, there's too many things to read. I'm going to sit here and listen while they talk. Go.
So I've always been a bigger fan of the Throne of Glass series than I have been of the Court of Thorns and Roses series. But this year has changed my mind because A Court of Mist and Fury was one of the best books I've read this year and probably in at least the last 10 years.
And guys, this is high praise because she's read, 334 books?
Yes.
This year?
Is what my Goodreads count is at.
I'm not kidding. And if she says that this book is one of her top ones, that's just this year exactly. 2016?
And the year's not even a I have to agree with you. Previous to this year, I would have probably said I liked Throne of Glass series more than the Court series.
Yeah.
And I love...
We get a Dark Prince fairy character, and he's the most amazing book boyfriend you can think of.
Oh, wow. We've got to the shouty part of the podcast. Thanks Sarah J. Maas.
Always going to be Sarah J. Maas who caused the shouting.
You look a little flushed. You're really excited.
I do really like Reese.
These books are really...
You make me want to read it.
Romantic. Which... Yeah.
Which is very strange for me as well, because I don't normally like romance. But Sarah J. Maas has...
She has made a convert of you.
Yes.
I like a bit of romance in my YA. Mm. It's not... It doesn't have to be there, but, you know.
It just adds a fun little mix into the rest of it.
Well, I just, you know, I've flipped now as well. So the Court series, which is only got two books, Court of Thorns and Roses, Court of Mist and Fury, and we now know the title of the third one. But so, that as yet unreleased book, there's only two books in that series. The first one, and I'm a sucker for a Beauty and the Beast retelling. This is a thing I can... Yeah, I'm hardcore with Beauty and the Beast. I will read anything that is vaguely based on Beauty and the Beast. It was my favourite Disney film growing up.
Beautiful.
It's, you know. So
it's a tale as old as
if
time.
If I hear... It is a tale. Aww. Tale as old. So even the fact that book one of the Court series is based loosely on Beauty and the Beast didn't really sell me on it that much. I enjoyed it, but I was still firmly Throne of Glass my favourite. Mm. Mist and Fury... flipped that completely.
There are lots of feelings in this book, but there's also a lot of feelings in The Empire of Storms, the newest one in the Throne of Glass series.
Yeah.
So it is a bit tough.
What is it about these books? Like, what is it? They're phenomenally popular.
Yes.
Everyone's reading them. Everyone's loving them. I totally love them. But what is going on? Like, how is...
She's just incredible.
I'm trying to understand the amazing popularity of this author and the mix that she has between romance and adventure and magic and all this sort of stuff.
Well, she just has such incredible heroines. They know what they want in life and they're not afraid to go and get it. And I think that resonates with a lot of young women who are the people who buy these books.
Book two, Court of Mist and Fury, is a game changer and definitely one of my favourite YA reads of the year, up there with Gemini and The Crooked Kingdom.
But talking about game changers as well, she has done the same thing with Empire of Storms. That book ended on the biggest game changer.
Yeah, that's true.
And the whole series, you've constantly been having these enormous plot twists and they're all just fantastic and it's just come to this big culmination at the end. So if you haven't read the Throne of Glass series, you have to get onto that stat as well, because you're in for a
wild ride.
Really great ride.
And it is one of those series, it's book five now that we're up to, and it gets better with each book. The story gets bigger, the cast of characters gets bigger.
The world gets bigger.
Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better, which is not like that common these days. It's more common to find a really strong first book and then maybe things deteriorate.
Yeah.
Like, just to be pessimistic, that's more common. It's more common, but this one just gets better and better. What else did we have this year that we loved? Should we talk about some Australian YA?
Yeah, so funnily enough, I generally call myself a YA fantasy fan and would steer away from contemporary YA, but my favourite YA this year has all been contemporary. While I was writing my list, Words in Deep Blue by Kath Crowley is... a really, really beautiful book set in a bookshop.
Books set in bookshops?
Yes. It's just beautiful and it just had that Australian feel to it. And they had letters that they left in books and it was just beautiful.
We also had The Psychics by Will Kostakis.
Which was just beautiful.
Definitely one of my favourites. This book, when you've got a book and it's the story is split up into three different point of views, usually like you're going to have an opinion on who's
your
favorite character, and this I am like split three ways equally. Like, I love those three boys so much. They're so lovable. A good book. Such a good book.
And you just feel for all three of them because they're all going through very unique problems after the death of their best friend is basically the premise of the story, and it's just
heartbreaking. And really uplifting. And it should be a movie, and I love it. It's definitely one of my favourites of the year.
And Will Kostakis is just fantastic as an author. He You should just follow him on Twitter. He's very, very funny.
Yes, Summer Skin. That was a great read.
Yes. Summer Skin is perfect for people who are in that really awkward stage between finishing school and finishing uni. So you're
people
not...
People who are in uni.
In uni, yeah. I was going to say. But you're not necessarily in uni straight away from school. So it's good for them as well. But it's just... It was wonderful because I just finished uni a few weeks ago, and reading this book that was set in a university setting with people who just felt like me was just fantastic.
And I love the characters in this. They're like, it's such a, it has a strong feminist message without ever being preachy, because it's just a really effing good story. I'm censoring myself, but it's a great story. It's like a, it's quite a sweet but yet realistic romance.
Mm-hmm.
But it also just like every peripheral character is
well-rounded.
Yeah. I really, that was a really good one. I also really loved This Year My Sister Rosa, because I love being a psychopath. Yeah. that was a great read. That was a really spooky read. About a teenage boy whose younger sister is a psychopath, but his parents are sort of ignoring the situation. Yeah, and he's sort of charged with kind of keeping her in line and preventing her from doing anything too.
That sounds awesome.
It is so awful. Good.
I'm gonna come over and talk about this later with you, I think.
Yeah, no, I'll lend you a copy. My Sister Rosa by Justine Lavalestia. So good. What else was on my list?
To segue from Justine Lavalestia, her husband has co-written...
Swarm!
Yes. Swarm! So that was a really good segue, easy if I segue. Do say so myself.
That was an excellent segue, and I can't believe we haven't spoken about Swarm
so
sooner.
So Scott Westerfeld, Margot Lanigan and Deborah Biancotti have co-written Zeros, which was the first book in the series, and Swarm, the second book, just came out recently. And it was fantastic. It's about this group of teenagers who have superpowers, but they're not actually that great. So they're zeros instead of heroes.
They have the kind of superpowers that they sound good in theory, but in practice they kind of ruin your life. and that is like a great... That is similar in my mind, totally different, but similar to the Six of Crows series, in that you've got this great cast of characters that... work together as a team, and they're all kind of misfits, and they've all got problems and layers.
layers are good.
Yeah. I love a good ensemble cast, and Swarm, definitely. That was a great one this year.
I remember you guys when
they came in.
And Margot came in, you two were just gushing to them, and you were almost angry because they caused you so much joy and so much pain.
Ending.
Yeah.
It's also set around Christmas time, so it makes for a very good Christmas present as well.
Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. A very Zeros Christmas, they call it.
You could get
around.
Book one and book two. Mm-hmm. Another set of books that look really good together.
Oh, yes.
They do. Yeah. Again, I've got both of them and they look great together.
And the front covers are awesome as well.
Oh, my gosh. We really have had an amazing year for YA fiction. There was just it would take forever to talk about them all, but just briefly, I loved Spontaneous.
Yes.
Which was a book about a small town wherein the students of the senior class in the high school start spontaneously combusting for no known reason. And while that's
best book summary ever.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but it's so
darkly funny.
It's so horrible. You just have to laugh.
That's exactly the reaction in the book. It's horrific, some of the stuff that happens in that book. It's very violent and crazy, but there's also a real strain of dark humour there. And I don't know, that one was a standout for me. We also had Golden Hand, latest in the Old Kingdom series by Garth Nix, which I devoured and absolutely loved. That's like a long-running love of mine, Old Kingdom, since childhood. Loved it. And you're reading it.
Yeah, right? I love those series where you literally grew up with them.
Yeah.
Like the Harry Potter series and... So many people I've talked to who said that they grew up in the Old Kingdom, which is just beautiful now that he's bringing another one that we're a little bit older.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Have looked forward to the next book in that series for so long, and it was a real treat. And I'm trying to think. There was Never Night. That was another standout for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Borderline on whether or not we can call it YA, but I say yes.
It's by Jay Kristoff, who co-wrote the Illuminate series. So we're going to...
It's probably, yeah, a little dark.
Like definitely
but there's quite a few adult themes in it, but
so for the more mature reader. But so are they in Summer Skin, for example, and I think I feel comfortable calling that. Yeah. I think we have we've got a tendency to
In my mind, when hesitate. I was reading it, it was young adult.
It's just the story with a few of like a, how old she's is 18, me? Probably 16, 17?
Yeah.
Who goes to assassin school.
The best school ever.
Yeah, and, you know, comes of age and it's learns so some great. Cool
deathly
skills.
Deathly murder skills.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's like Harry Potter with more death.
I just remember that one scene. I'm not going to say it, but the scene.
There's a lot of, yes. Okay. it is a dark fantasy, but it is bound to appeal to any fan.
It's amazing. And it's the beginning of another great series. It's just, I'm so excited for the next one.
Yeah.
And what a world. The fact
that the world building is incredible.
Insane.
Before I'd read it, when J. Christoph came in, and I judged a book by its cover, and I knew I wanted to read it just because the cover was so great. But then you two started talking to him about it during the podcast. And
talking or shouting.
Shouting. And then after it, I remember just looking to Jay and going, I have to read this out. What is this world? And I was like, that's the exact reaction we want. But it's
such a good one.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I love it.
And it's written with footnotes, which is like one of my yes. favorite things about it.
I loved it so much.
The footnotes about the
footnotes were what sold me on it initially.
The Curtain Makers Guild or whatever. That it is. Was like the richest because it's always daytime.
So much of the humor was just snuck in there.
I love that his humor is awesome.
That was such a great one. I feel like there are so
there
many.
Are. We could there are absolutely it, a but lot, but I just wanted to sneak in some kids' books.
Yes.
Seeing as
yes.
I've read them for a reason.
Yeah, Emily's our sort of resident kids fanatic.
Connoisseur.
Yeah.
So this year, a lot of Australian celebrities have actually released some books. So Isla Fisher released a very, very funny book called Marge in Charge, which is about a crazy nanny who was raised in a palace. And every time she looks after the two kids, they do ridiculous things like have chocolate soup for their entree at dinner.
This is Marge in Charge.
Marge in Charge.
I saw that. That looked so good.
It's very, very cute and very funny. And another one of my favourites from this year was Charlie and the War Against the Grannies, which is by Alan Brough, who used to be on Spicks and Specs. And the book is just hysterical. I'm not normally one for fart jokes, but the fart jokes in this book are so good. On like page 10, you learn how to say fart in 10 different languages. And
it's so educational.
Very educational. And they also have the grannies trying to take over all the paper rounds so that the children can't have them. And this creates a turf war. And the grannies have great weapons, like they have really snotty handkerchiefs that are really hard. So
they use them as throwing stars.
They use them as throwing stars. God. And then they've got their gnashing fake teeth. And it's just, it's so funny. And it'll get anybody into reading.
That sounds amazing.
I can just imagine though, a kid getting it for Christmas and then they'll just never look at their grandma the same again.
And they'll be able to say fart in how many languages?
10.
That's impressive.
And then there's another series which I'm really, really excited about called the Seven Signs series. It's by Michael Adams. And the first book is Skyfire and the second book is Carnage. And those are the two that are out at the moment.
Great titles.
Great
right?
titles. Yeah. And they're going to be releasing 7 books within the year. So it's a really fast-paced series. So as soon as someone gets addicted, they don't have to wait too long for the next one.
Just how I like it.
That would be great.
Yeah. And it's about these 7 children who win a competition for one of them's a fantastic photographer, one of them is like an up-and-coming journalist, one of them's really good at computers. And so they win this competition as the best and brightest children in the world. And then the world starts falling to pieces and they have to figure out the codes to save it. And
I'm sold.
Me too. That's really good.
That's awesome.
It's really good.
So if we all had to pick our number one book, you can pick one kid's.
Can we do a cat? Yeah, do a category one. Okay.
One kid's, one like middle grade and one YA for the whole year.
Do you want to go first?
Okay. So my picks are A Child of Books for the picture book category, the illustrated Chamber of Secrets for middle grade. Yeah. And it's really tough to make the YA decision, but I'm going with Gemini as my favourite, with a really tied close with a couple of others.
Yeah. Oh, for me, I would say, I mean, easy for the picture books is Pig the Elf, because no book has ever made me laugh so much. It's on display in my bedroom. You walk in, you just see his face.
Do you have a Pig the Pug bedspread?
No, I don't, but I have a Pig the Pug toy on my desk that farts.
That's better.
That is. you know when it gets quiet in the office, just squeeze it. And my middle grade, probably Fantastic Beasts. Yeah, that was just
so good.
I didn't expect to think it was just so cute. There's so many cute things happening in it.
What's that, you guys?
And then again with YA, I get what you mean about the close calls, but just remembering my reactions as I was reading, I'm gonna have to say Crooked Kingdom.
It's so close. It has, because those are my
because
two favorites.
Gemini was also can't stop obsessing over it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Between the two of us. We're doing well.
Emily.
So I'm supposed to know all the picture books, and you guys have stolen my choices.
You can say this.
So my absolute favourite was definitely A Child of Books, and a close second was Pig the Elf. But so that you get three of the best books of the year, I'm also going to choose Mr. Chicken, Arriva Aroma, because it is too cute and very funny. And then, because I'm terrible at choosing, my two favourite middle grade books of the year were Skyfire, which is part of the Seven Signs series, and Charlie and the War Against the Grannies, which made me laugh so hard I almost wet my pants.
Well, that's something to admit.
And again, with YA, I'm picking two. It was definitely a tie for me between Summer Skin and The Sidekicks.
Oh, so they're all really good. They're all very good choices. Buy any one of those choices.
And it'll be your winner.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the longest podcasts we've ever done. And that's just...
I could go on. Because I could.
This is proof to just how many good YA kids picture books are out there.
We didn't even
year.
Get into Fairy Tale Retelling.
We did not. That,
I mean, we briefly did, but there's a lot more to say. Thanks so much for staying with us through all
See
of that.
See you soon.
And you can get any of the books mentioned in this podcast at Booktopia, www.booktopia.com.au.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.